Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Divorce Girl Smiling Podcast. My name is Jackie Pilisoff, and I'm your host. I'm the creator and editor-in-chief of Divorce Girl Smiling, which is a website, a podcast, and a mobile app. Today, I want to talk about your options. Maybe you're thinking, I want to stay in my home. Maybe you're thinking, I want to just rent and sell the home and be out of this. Maybe you're thinking, what, I don't know if my ex wants my home. So it's really normal and understandable not to really know what you want to do yet at the beginning of a divorce. Or maybe you are thinking about getting divorced and you're trying to figure out what your options are going to be. So to talk about divorce and your living situation and offer 10 tips, I have two amazing guests who are dear friends and wonderful at what they do. And my first guest is Tammy Wolenzak, who is a mortgage banker and a certified divorce lending professional for Mutual Federal Bank and does business across the country. And Tammy's been in the business for like 25 years and decided to specialize in divorce a couple years ago. My other guest is Leslie Glazer, who is a real estate broker and also a certified divorce real estate expert. And she's been in the business for 20 years and a divorce specialist for about five. So hi, Tammy and Leslie.
Hi, Jackie.
Thanks for having us.
All right. Yeah. So you guys will think this is funny. This is my first podcast where I've had more than one guest. So we'll see how it goes. I'm really happy you guys are both here, and I know both of you are so great in your fields, and you know a lot, and you're experienced, and you're smart, and great friends, too. So thanks so much for taking the time to do this.
Our pleasure.
All right, so I want to start with 10 tips to give my listeners if they are thinking about divorce or just starting one, or even if they're have been going through a divorce for a while, this is really good information. And it all has to do with your living situation. I'm going to read the 10 things and then you guys can comment and kind of explain what each one is. The first one is make sure you monitor your credit report. And Tammy, why is it important to monitor your credit report, either if you're thinking about getting divorced or going through one?
So Jackie, everything that we do, whether we know it or not, a lot of times is tied back to our credit reports. And sometimes we don't even think about what's on our credit report because we're not really in a situation where we're looking to purchase anything. But also employers are now starting to run credit reports. So if you're thinking about getting in back in the workforce, that's really important. Insurance, if you're looking for homeowners insurance, a lot of times they run your credit report, but especially in the mortgage business, your credit report is really kind of like your identifier, so to speak. We look at what your credit score is and also what is on your credit report. So knowing what your credit report entails is really important because there might be something on there that you're not aware of. So that's why I say to monitor it. You can actually get a copy of a free credit report. It's by the government. They allow you to have access to your credit report. And it used to be that they allowed you once a year. But now, due to COVID, they've actually opened that up and you can actually get your credit report once a week, which I don't know why anybody would want it once a week. But I suggest getting it at least during the process of your divorce so that you can monitor what's going on with your credit report.
All right. So if you're thinking you might want to buy a new home, if you have to refinance, if you maybe want to even get a rental, you're going to have to make sure you have good credit.
Absolutely.
And then also, what if your ex has been doing, maybe he's irresponsible financially and maybe you didn't even realize that it's affecting your credit. Does that ever happen?
All the time. And that's really why it's important to get a copy of it. And that way, you know where you're starting at. And if there is anything that's on your credit report that you can repair or correct, It's going to be really important that you take a look at it and get started with the process, just so that with for your future, you have a clean credit report.
So it sounds like you have to get a credit report no matter what, because you're going to need it for something.
Well, you know, as a lender, I run your credit report, so I can also give you the information. But just during the divorce process, as a kind of a tip, I'd like to tell people that it's a good practice to continually know what's on your credit report, and just to kind of monitor that.
The last thing I was going to say about the credit report is you can also detect if there's fraud on your account, which has happened to me in the past.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, moving on to number two of the 10 tips in regards to divorce and your living situation. This one's for Leslie. Get a home inspection. Leslie, why?
It's so important. First of all, it helps value. So, you know, when you're going through divorce, even if you're going to stay in the house, one of the number one things is to determine the value of the home. And knowing what kind of inspection repairs need to be done in order for, you know, just the value of the home is huge. It lets both parties determine which repairs need to be performed and allows you to work those expenses into a settlement agreement. And what's really interesting, Jackie, is that talking to family law attorneys, one of the most common reasons that divorcing spouses go back and open up a case post-divorce is because of the home value.
Because they miss something, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And Leslie, also, when it comes to home inspections, what if you have a really big thing that would have prevented you from selling the house so quickly, right?
Yes. And it's, you know, and that's going to determine if you are going to sell. Maybe you're going to sell as is, you don't want to do the work, or maybe it's just little quick fixes that you can do. And it really is knowledge. It's just so important to have that. And one of the biggest things is if you're going to do a buyout and one person's going to stay in the home and the other person's going to move out, it's really important to know what you're in for. You know, I mean, do you really want to handle all that deferred maintenance on your own? And, you know, it's the knowledge of, oh my gosh, I didn't realize my roof was 25 years old and I need to have all these expenses. So you need to factor all of that in, you know, as much as you can.
I want my listeners to know that a home inspection is about $450. Now, I'm not saying that's the exact price, but I just did one and that's what I paid. So how worth it is it to spend the $450 to know exactly what the value of your home is?
It's worth every penny. It really is. I mean, and it's something that's not, it's constant. So it's not something that's just, oh, this is what's happening today. You know, in a month, 2 months, you'll know, because an inspector will say, okay, your furnace is 5 years old. You know that's good for maybe 20 years, or it's at the end of its useful life. So it really does help you in terms of seeing the whole condition of your property. Not if little things happen here and there, but maybe there's mold that's growing that you didn't even know was there. And that's, you know, it's hazardous.
Gee, Leslie, I wonder why you brought that up. Is that just so my listeners know that actually happened to me in my old house.
It's so
common. It was a little bit of a nightmare.
It's so common.
But we got through it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Moving on to number three, buy now versus buy later. This one is for Tammy. And Tammy, are we going to get into this interest rate conversation at this point?
I think that's really important, because I think with all the noise about interest rates in the marketplace today, a lot of times people think that they should just hold off and not buy now, because rates are up from where they were over the last couple of years. But that doesn't mean that the interest rates are not kind of normal as to what they were in the past in history. So I think making sure that the payment is comfortable for you and getting with a mortgage professional that can run those numbers for you so that you can see. And a lot of times purchasing a home or purchasing a condo or purchasing something, a lot of times is actually less money than rentals right now are very, very expensive. And then they're getting a premium really for rentals. So you need to look at all your options for sure, but I wouldn't sit on the sidelines and just assume you should do it later because there's no crystal ball.
And I also think interest rates are going to go up. That's my opinion. But you guys, you bring up a really good point, Tammy, because we got so spoiled with such low interest rates for so long that 5.5%, which I think is what interest rates were at when, last time I looked, just seems so high, but really it isn't. If you look at history, I remember owning properties where mine was 7 or 8%. So,
yeah.
You know, it's just the cost of living, and you're right, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't buy right now.
There's no magic numbers per se, but what's comfortable for you in your future is really what you should look at, what monthly payment and the investment that you're going to be needing to put as down payment and for closing costs and all that kind of stuff.
And if I had to offer a tip for my listeners, I would say this. If you don't absolutely love it and really want to live there, you don't have to settle. But if you walk into a place and you love it so much and you could see yourself being really happy there, then maybe it is worth the 5.5 or maybe even 6% or however much the interest rate is. You can't go wrong if you really love it, but if you can afford it on a monthly basis, like Tammy said.
Absolutely. That's really what's important.
You're listening to the Divorce Girl Smiling Podcast with Jackie Pilisoff. We are talking divorce and your living situation, 10 tips. I'm with Tammy Wolanczak, certified divorce lending professional, and Leslie Glazer, certified divorce real estate expert. Two wonderful people who can really help you if you're going through divorce. And both of these professionals can be found on Divorce Girl Smiling. They have their own page, which you can learn a lot about them. And also Tammy can be found at tammywolanczak.com and Leslie can be found at leslieglazergroup.com. Moving on to number 4 of the 10 tips, which is declutter. Leslie, this is all you.
Declutter. You know, it seems simple, but it's not. It's not organizing as much as, you know, just it is organizing, but there's also decluttering and removing items that maybe you haven't looked at or used in years. I would say walk into your home like you have never seen it before and try to get things off floors, off the hallways, in the closets, organize them, make sure the entryway looks really great. The garage and closet should be really organized. Kitchens and bathrooms, remove a lot of the stuff off the counters.
I was going to say 3 words. Less is more. Has never been more true when it comes to selling your home, right? Because when somebody walks in your home, it has to look clean, like they don't have to really do anything. That's what attracts people to buy a home. They don't want to have to feel like they have to redo this or this isn't going to be enough room or it looks too small. And taking all your picture frames that you love and that you are more than welcome to put in your home, if you just put them all in a box, in the basement, in a closet, because people don't want to see them. They want to see everything looking clean and bright and not cluttered so it will look bigger and more livable. Does that make sense?
Exactly. It does. That's a perfect way to say it. And, you know, staging a home, whether it's with your furniture, your accessories, or maybe we bring some in, staging is the opposite of interior design. Interior design lets you bring in your personality. This is just not. You want to stay neutral. You need to kind of have them imagine themselves in the space.
Okay, moving on to number 5. Understand your options with a qualified mortgage lender. Tammy, you're a qualified mortgage lender. What does that mean, understand your options?
I am. I think that it's really important for people to understand that just because they might know what's going in their bank account and feel that they can qualify for a payment does not mean that a mortgage lender is going to look at their income the same way. We look at income as called qualified, fancy word for we make sure that the income is regular and has been received for a certain amount of time and that it'll continue for a certain amount of time. So not all money that is going in your bank account can be used for qualification purposes. So that's why it's really important to talk to a lending professional and just make sure that all your income sources and money that's going in your bank account can either be used or not used so that you are aware and can make a better informed decision.
And when you say understand your options, that means you'll know how much you can actually qualify for, so then you'll know your price range of what you can buy, right?
Yes, or if you're planning on keeping your marital home, the only way to do that and remove the spouse is to refinance, and the only way to do that is to qualify. And for qualification purposes, you know, need to know what qualified income is before the divorce, and then what it's going to look like post divorce. You might be receiving some alimony or child support. We call it maintenance here in Illinois, but either one of those, you might be going to receive that. That also has to be received for a certain amount of time post divorce, and then it needs to continue for a certain amount of time in order to use that.
So here's what I want to say to my listeners. The most common question that I hear from people thinking of getting divorced or right at the beginning of a divorce is, can I stay in my home? And I would say my advice to people listening is, if you have this question, the first thing you can do to answer that question is to call Tammy, because Tammy is going to talk about understanding your options and talking about qualified income, and then you will know. Would you guys agree with that? Would you say that that's really the first step?
Yeah, absolutely.
First step.
It's really important. I do what's called divorce mortgage planning. We put together what that is going to look like for you. And it might not even be that you can't qualify. It might be that you look at the payment on, let's say, your marital home and decide you really don't want to have that type of a payment.
Right.
It might be that you decide that you want to downsize or upsize.
Right,
or,
because you don't want that huge payment. Or maybe
right.
You say, okay, I'm going to put more money down, you know,
yes.
Or something like that. So there's so many options that Tammy can walk you through. Great exercise for everyone to do. And by the way, to my listeners, when I was getting divorced 15 years ago, I didn't do one thing on this list so far. Just so you know. Okay, moving on to number 6 of the 10 tips when it comes to divorce and your living situation. And this is for Leslie. Find out how much is my home worth, and how do you do that?
Yeah, so not Zillow. It's an algorithm. They've never been in your house. A CMA, which is a comparative market analysis, is typically free. It's something that a real estate agent that's an expert in the neighborhood, I do it all the time. That is something that you need. And it's a CMA, we call it a CMA. It's way more than appraisal. So a CMA is taking what's on the market now, what's pending, what's closed, putting it all together, but also what's different than an appraisal, which costs, you know, hundreds and hundreds of dollars, it's maybe $350 to $1,000, is that we can do market updates. And Jackie, it's so important to know, you know, the nuances, the school districts, and what's important. Is it close by, near town? Is it near transportation? All the things that Zillow or, you know, an appraiser doesn't take into account. We also take into account if the home is going to be as is, does it need repairs, what kind of condition is it in? So to get a value of your home and get the updates monthly, as we know with COVID, things have keep changing and the market changes. It's just, it's imperative to, you know, just really understand the market situation and where your home is. And it's very different than your neighbor's house. Maybe yours is updated and your, you know, your neighbor's is not. Maybe your neighbor does has a finished basement and you don't.
And also, even if you don't think you want to sell your home, find out all these things, because then you have options. Things in divorce change all the time. You might plan on staying in your home and then all of a sudden, a few months later, say, you know what? Why am I staying in this home? And then you already know how much it's worth. So it plays a huge role in trying to figure out what your post-divorce financial life is going to look like.
Absolutely.
Number seven of the 10 tips, knowing your premium for homeowners insurance post-divorce. So who wants to answer this? How much is homeowners insurance post-divorce?
I put this on our list because I think it gets overlooked a lot, Jackie, and because people don't really even pay attention to what their homeowners insurance premium is. It's just part of your payment. So you know, a lot of times don't even think about it. But if you have two people living in a home and you're, let's say you have two cars and, you know, other things that are being insured, a lot of times what happens is the insurance agent gives you group discounts. Like you get discounts based on the fact that you have multiple things insured. So let's say one of the spouses leaves the home. Then you're just insuring just the home and maybe just one car sometimes. And maybe the original insurance was underwritten under the spouse that's leaving their credit. You really want to know, you know, based on your situation, your credit, what's you're going to insure, what your homeowner's insurance can, is going to be like, because it could go up. And then you not, might not be, prepared for that. So it's something I think that, like I said, gets overlooked, but important in your financial future.
I couldn't agree more. You're listening to the Divorce Girl Smiling Podcast with Jackie Pilosoff and my guests, Tammy Wolenzak, a certified divorce lending professional, and Leslie Glazer, a certified divorce real estate expert. Anyone listening, these two people can really, really help you if you're thinking about divorce or going through one. Next tip on the 8 tips is know that there are 3 options on dividing the house. Leslie, what does that mean?
Well, typically there's 3 options, and the first one is an equity buyout, and that basically means that one person is staying in the house and the other person is moving out. And as Tammy can explain as well, because we do this all the time, is can you afford to do that? And there's a lot of nuances that general lenders and general brokers wouldn't even think about as a, you know, just is even an option to be able to do this. You have to take the emotion out and make it a business decision. So what people don't realize is, oh, you know, my mortgage is $2,000 a month. I can afford that. But basically, it's a brand new loan. Mm-hmm. And you have to, you might take some of the equity out of it. Depends on your settlement and where you're dividing. But there's a lot that goes into that. And Tammy and I could talk about that for hours. So it's okay. Just something that, that's one of the options. And the next one is to sell the house, and that's just the easiest because then everybody knows the value of the home, and it once you know that value, it just a lot of other things fall into place pretty easily during the divorce. And then the third option is a delayed sale, and that is the riskiest. That's you're married to the mortgage, you're both on it, so if someone else, you know, has your spouse decides not to you know, pay the mortgage payment for a month, and what does that do to your credit?
What if he gets mad at you because you're dating someone he knows and is pissed about it? So then he says, you know what, I'm not going to pay her mortgage. Bad idea.
I mean, you have who has keys to the house, who's handling all the deferred maintenance. And it also keeps attorneys around longer, so it costs more.
Right, right. And one thing we haven't talked about is that there should be another person involved in these decisions, and it should be your financial planner. Or if you and your husband have a financial planner together, you could talk to a different one and kind of start over and get that person involved. Don't you guys think?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, for sure.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Imperative.
Mm-hmm. So I have to plug Vestor Capital and say they are my financial planners, and I absolutely would 100% refer you to them if you're looking. And you can find them and Tammy and Leslie and many other great Divorce Girl Smiling partners on Divorce Girl Smiling. Moving on to number 9 of 10 tips when it comes to divorce and your living situation is understanding what's included in qualified income. And Tammy, we sort of talked about this, but just say again, tell me what qualified income is.
Yeah, qualified is is considered, to be considered qualified, it needs to be continuous, stable, and likely to continue. So those three things are what a lender looks for. Continuous meaning we look at the past 2 year history of it. So let's say you're just rejoining the workforce, and let's say you have a new job, but you've only been on that job for 6 months. We typically do not consider that as qualified unless we can tie it back somehow to maybe you were raising the children and you were doing that same job before you started raising your children. So there are ways to consider that as qualified, but in general, we want to see the last 2 years of you being in the workforce, and then if you're on a salary or you're on hourly and you've worked those 2 years pretty continuously for, let's say, 40 hours a week, then we would consider that qualified. So there's many different ways that we look at things, and it's really important to have a lender look at them, because it doesn't necessarily make common sense. It's
who's making those calls? The mortgage company, the lender? So do they just have to do a judgment call?
Well, there's guidelines that we follow in lending that most of us, a lot of times people have heard, are Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, FHA, those type of programs that are out there. And they all have guidelines on how to calculate different ways of earning income. So if you're hourly, it might be looked at one way. If you're salaried, it might be looked at another. If you're self-employed, it's looked at a third way. So depending on your situation and how your income is derived is really how we look at it and how we typically calculate income. So it's not just like, oh, we feel like it should be this way or that way, or you're a good person, so we're going to do it this way. Unfortunately, it's pretty cut and dry a lot of times. But there are a lot of programs out there that can be more flexible. But knowing what your options are and how it's calculated is really important.
Wow, this is such great information. And remember I said that I never followed one thing on this list. And by the way, since I had none of this. But what I want to say is I wish I would have known you guys and other divorce professionals. And it's just amazing the kind of service you offer. And I want to tell my listeners, it doesn't cost any additional money to work with Leslie versus another real estate agent. It doesn't cost any additional money to work with Tammy versus another mortgage banker. So these two ladies are doing this because they have a passion for helping divorced women and men. And they went to classes to train and get the certifications for these things to be able to answer these kinds of questions. So this is really great, you guys. I love it. All right, last thing on the list. This is for Leslie. Do you rent or buy post-divorce? You have to figure that out. So tell me about that, Leslie.
Well, there's pros and cons to both, and it really depends on where you are and what stage in the divorce as well. I mean, some people might not have the funds, the divorce isn't final yet. So if you buy something when you're still married, you're going to have to, you know, it's still marital property. So that's something that would need to be worked out. Renting, you're more flexible, and maybe you're trying out a new location. With renting, there's no taxes on the home, less maintenance, no down payment. It gives you an opportunity to save. But to purchase, you're building up your equity. You're not dealing, it's your place. You know, you're not dealing with a landlord that might sell the property or not want you to do any painting or anything like that. Are you going to have to put up with showings? So, you know, it's a big picture. And just to kind of touch on what you just said, and this goes for Tammy as well, is that, like, we act more as consultants, and it's very different than like a general realtor or general lender, because we are so highly specialized with divorce and real estate lending that we wear an advisor consultant hat for a lot of, you know, the whole process, which makes us quite different.
Right. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Oh, you guys, thank you so much for doing this and taking the time. I think my listeners are loving this and getting so much out of it. What I want to say in closing is that, Leslie and Tammy, tell me if you agree with this. I think that when you're going through a divorce, which, by the way, all three of us have been through one, these kinds of decisions are so scary, and you feel like, I hope I'm doing the right thing. And, you know, there could be so many other emotions tied to these decisions, anger, feeling sad, you know, having fear, feeling resentment. Why did this happen to me? And there's all these things that come up. So we know it isn't easy. And that's why being empowered and knowing the answers to these questions, the 10 things that we just said, and doing those and finding out information gives you the power to make the best decision. So it's really, really important to empower yourself and get educated on these things.
Absolutely. It takes a village. I mean, you can't rely on an attorney for everything, because they don't, that's not their specialty. Their specialty is, you know, the law. And that's why, whether it's the financial, you know, emotional, real estate, mortgage, we're there to help.
Absolutely. I 100%. Totally agree.
All right, you guys, Tammy Wolenzak, Certified Divorce Lending Professional for Mutual Federal Bank. Tammy, thanks so much for being on.
My pleasure. Thank you, Jackie. It was wonderful.
And Leslie Glazer, Certified Divorce Real Estate Expert, and her company that she works for is At Properties. And Leslie, thank you for being on too.
Thank you, Jackie. It was so fun.
All right, you guys, next time we get together has to be for a glass of wine. Promise me that.
Okay.
And for everybody listening, you can find these guys on Divorce Girl Filing, or you can find Leslie at leslieglazergroup.com or Tammy at tammywolenzak.com. If you want to learn more, visit divorcegirlsmiling.com. And thanks so much for listening, everyone. We'll talk to you real soon.